taking their place in a long true line of everyday Americans,
helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel.
Pay the bills, stay out of jail, love the neighbors and have a few good friends. Every day you were everyday Americans.
Hello there, everyday Americans, and welcome to the Constitution Study. This is where we read and study the Constitution. We teach the rising generation to be free. I am glad you could join me today. You know, I love it when I can bring some good news. We get a lot of bad news here, and there's a lot of things to look at that are just not going the way they should. So good news is always exciting, and it reminds me of, of our first president. See, in his first inaugural address, George Washington said, "And since the preservation of the sacred fire of liberty and the destiny of the Republican model of government are justly considered as deeply, perhaps as finally staked on the experiment entrusted into the hands of the American people." Now, that experiment has not been going very well. At least it doesn't appear to be going very well. We've had decades of the American people giving up their self-government, giving up their rights and looking for others to take care of them. And certainly the last 2 years, we have watched tyranny roll not just across the United States, but across the world as governments, left, right, and center, have used illegal powers to micromanage the people. But today, as we looked and wondered, were those sacred fires of liberty going out? Were there enough people left willing to stand and fight for freedom and liberty? And over the last couple of weeks, we've seen the fires burn again. We see the sacred fire of liberty once again lighting the hearts, if not so much of the American people, we see it from the Canadian people. That's right, watching what is going on in Canada, watching these men and women stand strong, watching them stand and fight for liberty. Now, I do have one bone to pick with them. See, the very same people that are fighting for their rights are blocking the traffic, denying the rights of others. But other than that, the idea of standing and saying no, looking your government in the eye and saying no, this is a wonderful thing. It's to see people stand and, you know, look the government in the eye and say, no. Yes, I wish this would happen in the United States. And there's talk about a freedom convoy in the United States. But it's not simply the convoy. It's the people that have come in and supported the work that is going on. The people that have been standing against the tyranny of, well, in this case, the Canadian government. See, even an Ontario Superior Court judge issued an injunction ordering the protesters, the Freedom Convoy protesters at the Ambassador Bridge, to disperse. And you know what happened? More protesters showed up. You know, I'm reminded of the Battle of Lexington. I've used this story before. When the British marched on Lexington Green and they found the Massachusetts militia there, the commander ordered the militia to lay down their arms and disperse. Is that any really different than this court judge issuing an injunction ordering them, the protesters, to disperse? And what was Captain John Parker's orders to his troops? Stand your ground. Don't fire unless fired upon. But if they mean to have war, let it begin here. This is what happened at the Ambassador Bridge. They were told to disperse, but they stood their ground. According to City News, protesters held a vote at the bridge blockade, and they voted to stay and link arms when the court issued the injunction when that injunction kicked in at 7 p.m. People showed up. They linked arms. They faced their opponents. Now, again, a part of me looks at it and say, yeah, but what about all the other people that are trying to use the bridge but can't? But I see the swelling of the fires of liberty saying, we won't go. They have not used violence. In fact, there's video of them of them actually cleaning up along the way, cleaning up messes they didn't make. They stood their ground. They've been peaceful. They have not fired. I pray it doesn't come to war. But what happens when a judge finds their injunctions are ignored? Well, police showed up. Scores of law enforcement officers descended on the Ambassador Bridge. Now, there are reports of only a small contingent blocking the bridge, but you still had people showing up, and they were still willing to stand. At what point did we give up the fortitude to stand against the actions of government, the illegal actions of government? At what point is your compliance with government being an accessory to an illegal act? Now, the Canadian police faced criticism because, well, there are a lot of people that wanted them to move more quickly to move these people aside. But what you have is an ongoing struggle. Now, again, I understand the issue. The one area that I want to repeat, I'm conflicted with is by blocking the bridge, these people who are claiming the right to liberty of their own selves are denying that liberty to others. But when you've seen the criminal activity, the tyrannical activity that is being used against these people, the question of, do they want war? Does the Canadian government want war? Because they certainly seem to be acting like that. From the Prime Minister Trudeau and the continuing calling of names. By the way, I love the fact that he's simply calling them names. Because name calling is the last resort of a person who has nothing to stand on. To simply stand there and say, we have to get rid of them because we're calling them names, tells me they don't have a strong point. They don't have truth and justice on their side. They don't have facts on their side. What's the old adage from the legal profession? When the facts are on your side, argue the facts. When the facts are not on your side, argue the law. When the law is not on your side, attack your opponent. That's what they're doing. They have neither facts nor law on their side. So they're attacking their opponent. So when the Prime Minister refers to these peaceful protesters as terrorists, it should tell you he's scared. Because the only one that should be terrorized by people peacefully protesting for their rights are the people infringing on their rights. But now they've extended it. By now you've heard of the GoFundMe and the attempt by GoFundMe to steal the donations. Yes, steal, embezzle, theft. These donations were given to the Freedom Convoy. GoFundMe decided they didn't like that, so they're going to send it somewhere else. That's theft. Now, the Canadian Prime Minister is now using what's be called the Emergencies Act. I mean, this is the, what is this? Emperor Palpatine creating the empire? Now, part of that is he wants to he wants to punish financial institutions, prevent them from supporting the Freedom Convoy. In fact, the Deputy Prime Minister and the Minister of Finance said the government would be broadening their terrorist financing rules to cover crowdfunding platforms and money raising for the Freedom Convoy. Don't take my word for it. Listen to Chrystia Freeland, Deputy Prime Minister for Canada, in a press conference.
We are announcing the following immediate actions. First, we are broadening the scope of Canada's anti-money laundering and terrorist financing rules so that they cover crowdfunding platforms and the payment service providers they use. These changes cover all forms of transactions, including digital assets, such as cryptocurrencies.
So now, apparently, if you protest the Canadian government, you're considered a terrorist. And they're going to use terrorist anti-money laundering laws to cripple you. And they realized, hey, they're getting their money through crowdfunding. So we're going to make them part of this as well. Why do you think they're clamping down on the money? Because they're afraid. They're afraid because ordinary citizens of Canada are standing up and saying, enough is enough. Now, the question is, will the people of Canada allow their prime minister simply say, nope, this is now a state of emergency and you are now terrorists. We don't need laws. We don't need evidence. We'll just declare it. Will the people of Canada allow Justin Trudeau to suddenly become emperor? Just like Emperor Palpatine. It's an emergency. I'll take these powers and I'm going to rule. Now, this tyrannical move has not come without consequences. See, politicians from around the world have condemned the Canadian government for using terrorism laws to quell a peaceful protest of its own citizens. See, that's the part that really, grabs me, is these are peaceful protests. Yes, okay, they are blocking a bridge. That's not terribly peaceful. I will admit that. But is it terrorism? Is it terrorism to block a bridge? Because in that case, when are Antifa and BLM going to be designated as terrorist organizations? See, this overreaction makes me wonder. To simply look at it, rather than looking at this as a protest and go, Now, maybe I agree, maybe I disagree, maybe I disagree with the methods. Again, I'm not thrilled with the idea of blocking traffic, of infringing on the rights of others. But to turn around and say, hey, we're going to declare you a terrorist, and we are going to make sure that you don't get funded. We're even going to rewrite the law so that they can't use crowdfunding. And now what? They're asking the banks and the crowdfunding organizations to report to Canada, to the Canadian government, when they're collecting money for what's basically a peaceful protest? Yes, they are blocking traffic. I give you that. And for blocking traffic, they should be cited, just like you would any other scenario where blocking traffic. That does not make you a terrorist, unless, of course, you're a tyrant and a bully. And you cannot allow opposition to be given any opportunity. Why else would they freeze 34 different crypto wallets that have been used to fund the Freedom Convoy? See, now they call them, first they call them terrorists. Then they expand their anti-money laundering laws. And now they start seizing their funds. You said, Paul, why do you keep saying this is good news? Because it means the people there are making a difference. Because when people start shoving, when the government starts trying to shut them down, when the judge orders them to disperse, more people show up to support them. I've been saying all along, it is more important that we protect other people's rights than we protect our own. If we protect our own rights, we are protecting the rights of one person. When we come to the defense of other people's rights, that's when we're the land of the free and the home of the brave. Free enough to live free and brave enough to do so. And we are being schooled by our neighbor to the north, by the Canadians. We should be learning a wonderful lesson. What lessons should we? There should be two real lessons that we learn. Because if the Biden administration has already suggested that the Trudeau administration use heavy equipment to clear the bridge, what do you think would happen if people in America started standing up? The question is, what does it take to piss off a Canadian so much that they will brave the freezing cold, they will brave arrest, they will brave the ire of their government? What would it take for the American people to do that? So the two lessons I think we should learn are, we should not be surprised when tyrannical governments, and let's face it, the government of the United States and the government of Canada aren't that different when it comes to tyranny. What will they do when push comes to shove? And then what will the American people do to push back? Because bullies don't like that. They don't like when people push back. Just ask Tammy Giuliani. She owns a gelato cafe in Ottawa. Now, she gave to the Freedom Convoy through Give, Send, Go. Remember, GoFundMe tried to steal the money. Give, Send, Go has accepted donations. They were hacked. And they steal donor information. They made it public. And Ms. Giuliani's name appeared on that list of stolen donors from Give, Send, Go. And the response has been, terrifying. See, she's had to shut down her store because she's been receiving threats. They've threatened to throw bricks through the window. They've threatened to go in and get her. She's had physical threats made on her person, all for making a donation to the Freedom Convoy. Now, who's being violent? Who is a terrorist then? Is it the people that are standing and cleaning up after themselves and cleaning up after others and simply demanding the government follow its own laws? Or is it those who steal information from websites, then use that to physically threaten and intimidate others? Now, I'm not saying it's the government that broke in and got the names, and I'm just saying it's government actors that are doing this. But you will always have a group that benefits from the empire. The terrorists are not the truckers. The terrorists are those that are intimidating people for supporting the truckers, to threaten with physical harm. And you call the truckers the terrorists? Mr. Trudeau, what are you doing to track down the people who have actually made violent threats? Not the protesters, the people who have threatened donors to the protesters. See, they're the terrorists. They're terrorizing people. According to Ms. Giuliani, she said that they were getting phone calls from, she was getting, that her team called her and said they were getting phone calls. They said they were threatening to throw bricks through the windows, threatening to come get us. So she said, lock the door and we'll find out what's going on. She told her staff to go home for their own safety because she donated to a cause, to a peaceful demonstration. because she was tired, because this group is tired of these COVID-19 restrictions that have been proven useless, that are obviously tyrannical. But you see, there's still people willing to stand. Now, I don't know what's going to happen with Ms. Giuliani's gelato stand. What I do want to know is, where's the investigation into the threats and intimidation, the coercion? I expect this from a tyrant like Trudeau. I guess I didn't, you know, I'm not surprised, but I'm disappointed that people would do this, that there are people in Canada that would threaten their neighbors because they disagree politically. But I'm not surprised. It's no different here in the United States. But the fact that the people will stand up anyway shows that the sacred fires of liberty have not yet gone out. And that this tyrannical, the tyrannical acts of governments, the U.S. government, the Canadian government, governments around the world, that have denied people their rights, that have violated their own laws, that have usurped the constitutions of those countries, that have ruled as dictators, has now become the wind that fans the embers of the sacred fires of liberty. And as those fires grow, there's only two things that could happen. Some of us will be warmed by those fires. We'll see them, we'll embrace them, we'll rejoice and join in to those who are willing to stand and fight for liberty, for rights, for freedom, that are not afraid of being called names, that are willing to stand against illegal crackdowns, that are willing to stand against the abusive powers of government, including the police. And there are those who will be burned with the sacred fires of liberty, as a cross to a vampire will be burned by its presence. You see, the acts of Justin Trudeau don't surprise me. The acts of President Biden don't surprise me. The acts of Governor Whitmer don't surprise me, because tyrants are bullies. And the last thing a bully wants is to be stood up to. And the one thing a bully really cannot stand is that sacred fire of liberty. The very fire that lights the way to freedom and liberty for some cause pain and torment to others. Now, if your livelihood has been disrupted because of the closure of the bridge, I feel for you. I understand. It's the one part of this that I am not comfortable with. But to see thousands and thousands, possibly millions of men and women stand up and say, no more. We're done. We will not be your subjects. We will not be your slaves. Here we stand. What else can we do? That warms the cockles of my heart. And to all of those who find the actions of others, the willingness to stand up for your own rights, the willingness to push back against an overbearing government, who find that offensive and to the point of being willing to threaten their neighbors for supporting them, that is the sacred fire of liberty that is burning your skin. That tells me you're not interested in freedom, except for your own benefit. That if the sacred fire of liberty is painful to the touch for you, then realize it. Understand it. Accept it. You're either a tyrant or a capitulator with tyrants. But for those of us who have been seeking good news in this cesspool of the last 2 years, this, ladies and gentlemen, is good news. Now, I have to take a break, but before I do, I do want to remind you of a couple things. Again, this is happening in Canada. I'm not familiar with the Canadian Constitution or its Declaration of Rights or all that, but I am familiar with the U.S. Constitution and our Bill of Rights. So please head to constitutionstudy.com/study and join our Constitution study. We're reading and studying the Constitution. We're understanding what it means. We are preparing ourselves so that we recognize when our rights are being violated and make sure that we are prepared to both defend and assert them. Now, you can listen to the recordings of the Bill of Rights absolutely free. Just go to constitutionstudy.com/study. You can find out more about the study, and you'll find out how you can sign up absolutely free for the Constitution Scholars and get access to the Bill of Rights class, the Bill of Rights lessons in the Constitution study. And you can give it a try. Then if you want to follow up, there's more information there. I also want to send you to healthycell.com. You know, there's a lot going on right now, and there's always a lot going on, isn't there? And whether it's stress or lack of sleep or just running around and not eating right, we need help sometimes. Our bodies need proper nutrition. So absorb a healthier lifestyle with Healthy Cells pill-free vitamins. With maximum absorption technology, these are designed to feed your bodies at the cellular level. Now, they've got several different formulas, but today, the other night I had a hard time getting to sleep. So I reached and I got a REM sleep. It's a little gel pack. Take the gel pack, and in just a few minutes, I'm getting drowsy and starting to fall asleep. It's wonderful. It works for me. It helps me fall asleep, stay asleep, so I can wake up in the morning refreshed and ready to go. Now, as an America Out Loud listener, you get 20% off your first order. All you have to do is go to healthycell.com and use the code OUTLOUD at checkout. Try the REM sleep. Try any of their products. But do me a favor. Use that code OUTLOUD at checkout. You get 20% off. And Healthy Cell knows that you are a listener of the Constitution Study of America Out Loud and a supporter of freedom and liberty and justice for all.
Let's get real. Let's get loud. On America Out Loud Talk Radio, this is a McCullough Report. Healthy Cell REM Sleep Supplement is a combination of calming herbs, amino acids, minerals, and sleep hormone support for the four stages of the human sleep cycle. Fall asleep, stay asleep, get a deep sleep, and achieve REM, or rapid eye movement sleep. This is very important. So there are combinations that address, in this single product, the ability to fall asleep easily. There are others that help the body lower the body temperature, which is normal during sleep. And still others that cause a deep and lasting sleep. That's what so many people are after. And finally, interestingly, combinations that help creativity boosting during REM sleep. I can tell you, I use this one personally. It's in a microgel formula. I had a patient this last week who has long COVID syndrome, and she has terrible GI side effects, and she has GI hypomotility, and said, listen, she's not even tolerating pills or these chalky, large vitamins. I said, go to Healthy Cell. Get the Healthy Cell line. We use it in post-COVID syndrome patients, and this product particularly will help sleep get on track. Now, I tell people, listen, take it every night and do so for months and months. The body likes regular administration of any exogenous substance. Don't take it on and off. It's not like a sleeping pill. This is something you take every night to get high quality sleep back into your day. And you feel better during the day after having better quality sleep at night. So go to healthycell.com And in the promo code, type in Out Loud for 20% off your first order. Let's get real. Let's get loud on America Out Loud Talk Radio.
The American Constitution is the most magnificent document on earth. We are America Out Loud. Join us as we celebrate the genius of our founding fathers. You can listen in on our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. You've rejoined the Constitution Study. And today we are watching as the sacred fires of liberty seem to be sparkling back into form. We are blowing on the embers of our love of freedom and liberty. We are savoring the fire that is burning north of our border. And we are praying that that fire spreads here to America. Now, nothing of value comes easily. We've discussed already about the government crackdowns on those peaceful protesters, mostly peaceful protesters. Yes, they are blocking a bridge, and for that they should be punished. But to be called, you know, we're pointing out that if all you're going to do is call them terrorists, it just proves you have no position. We watch as they try to malign them, deny them funds. And we watch as Canadian citizens use this opportunity to threaten their neighbors for daring to support freedom and liberty. But while that happens, that is fuel being poured onto the fire of the sacred fires of liberty. And we're watching them glow and grow. And I'm, again, hoping they come here. But it's not just the crowdfunding that is out to get this resurgence of liberty. There are more. Facebook removed a group of over 100,000 users because, well, they support freedom and liberty. Meta, the parent company, suspended the personal accounts of some of the organizers because they oppose freedom and liberty. Twitter has banned one of the members from its platform. All of this is happening because the tyrants that have been running the asylum do not like to be challenged. They don't like the fact that there are people that are standing up and saying, no, 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 no. They stand up for freedom and liberty. They stoke those sacred fires. The question is, what will the American people do? Will we look at what's going on north of our border and encourage something similar to happen here? Will we rejoice as freedom and liberty are reveled in? If this comes south of the border, will we be peaceful? Will we cherish the rights of others? What will we do? Now, I talked a bit about Give, Send, Go. And I mentioned in the first half that they had been hacked. In fact, they've been under cyber attack for supporting the Freedom Convoy. Because the last thing those who support the tyrants want to have happen is for peaceful demonstrators to point out the tyranny of their actions. Heaven forbid that they should be allowed to raise funds and participate. That can't be allowed to happen. Not when you are opposing tyranny. The tyrants won't let that happen. The tyrants don't want that to be known. Now, there were reports that the Canadian government had frozen the Give, Send, Go accounts of the Freedom Convoy. But according to the Give, Send, Go account on Twitter, the funds from the Freedom Convoy are not frozen, contrary to what you might be hearing on the news. GiveSendGo is working with many different campaign organizers to find the most effective legal ways to continue funds flowing. See, it's the thing about the sacred fire of liberty. It says somebody tries to put it out in one place, it rises back up in another. This pushback, this standing your ground, this is what the American people need to see. This is what the world needs to see. And the world is starting to see it. There are more and more instances of people standing up against tyrannical pushback. Well, for example, in New Zealand, there were protesters outside of the parliament, and they were protesting the mandates. I know they get referred to as anti-vaxxers all the time. Nope, they're protesting mandates. And over 120 of them are actually arrested. Now, for 3 days, the protests happened outside of the New Zealand parliament. Well, see, that is until the police attempted to forcibly remove the demonstrators from the grounds. Well, then things started to get ugly. Police used pepper spray to control the crowds. As I understand it, these protests were peaceful until the bullies showed up. When the bullies didn't like to be protested anymore and they started pushing back, that's when things got violent. That's when things got heated. Now, that's when the Prime Minister of New Zealand decided to crack down on their own freedom convoy. You see, the protesters were first soaked with water from a sprinkler system. Loud music was blared at them around the clock. And although some people had gone home, there were still a few hundred outside protesting. It seems that the harassment wasn't enough. It wasn't enough to sway any of the members of parliament to come outside and discuss their complaints. And it didn't sway the prime minister and listening to the opposition. And the prime minister is accusing the protesters of engaging in intimidation and harassment. Wait a second. Isn't it the government of New Zealand in a scary parallel to events in the South in the 60s, used water to try to disperse a protest, that used loud music to try to drive them off? No, ladies and gentlemen, it's the government of New Zealand that is using intimidation and harassment against peaceful protesters. And she's not done. She seems to be taking a page from Trudeau, where once again we see the true colors of the tyrants in Canada and in New Zealand. Sadly, I expect them to show up in many, many more places that we once thought were free. See, that is the position of the tyrant. If you challenge the government, not the law, the government, the people in government, they lash out. They strike back. They call you names. They try to convince everyone that you're the one using intimidation and harassment, that you're the terrorist, that you're the threat, when it is they that are threatening freedom and liberty. They are stealing rights. They are using intimidation. They are using harassment. They are the epitome of the brown shirts, of the Cultural Revolution, and of every tyrannical government that has intimidated its opposition when it peacefully assembled to express their discontent. Sure, we saw it in the United States when the state of New Jersey went after the owners of Attila's gym who refused to comply with an illegal shutdown order. We've seen it with government officials going after mothers for daring to watch their child at a public venue all alone without wearing a mask. We've seen it when legal means were used to intimidate business owners, whether they were opening up in disregard of an illegal shutdown order. We've seen it here in America, but it was Canada where people started standing up. And it was Canada where it was noticed. And it was Canada where we first started seeing people stand their ground against the tyranny and oppression. And a new country has entered the fray. Israel. Israelis staged their own freedom convoy to demonstrate against these restrictions, these illegal mandates. What's the Israeli Knesset going to do? Will they act like the tyrants? Will they act like the very jackbooted thugs that they swore would never happen again? Or will they recognize the error of their ways? Will they recognize that they've pushed these trains of abuses too far? That the people are starting to stand up and push back? It's up to them. And it's up to us. See, too often we keep looking for someone else to come save us. Yet these demonstrators in Canada, in Israel, in New Zealand, and around the world have said, no, no, we must stand up for ourselves. Sure, we represent millions of others, but we must stand. We must stand against the tyranny. We must take the slings and arrows to protect themselves, to protect their children or their grandchildren. These are the sacred fires of liberty when the people stand up and say, no more. And again, I don't know Canada's laws. I don't know New Zealand's laws. I don't know Israeli law. What I know is here in America, the American people have not really stood up. A few here and there have not. Now, there's talk of our own freedom convoy to mimic what was done north of our border. But being forewarned also means the government is forearmed, which means I expect even more retaliation against anyone that attempts to do this. And that's all the more reason why it needs to be done. The very fact that government will attack peaceful protests because it doesn't follow the political narrative is proof positive that our government has become tyrannical, that they no longer follow their oath of office, they no longer obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. And that's all the more reason why the people must stand up, push back, and simply say no. Because that's what it takes to stoke the sacred fires of liberty. The ability to say no. Whether that be the Prime Minister of Canada or New Zealand or the President of the United States, your governor, your mayor. The ability to look them in the eye and say no. But Paul, they'll push back. Yes, they will. And some of us may pay a price for this. But what is liberty worth to you? What is your freedom? What are your rights? What are the rights of your children worth to you? Sure, right now, Canada is showing the world what it means to live free. That the sacred fires of liberty have not gone out. And it appears that it has kindled some more fires around the world. Will it kindle a fire in America? Will the hearts of the American people grow warm with the fire? That's the question. And we don't know yet. The future isn't certain. Will we have our own freedom convoy? Will it remain peaceful? Or will it devolve into anarchy? How will the president and the governors and the mayor react when men and women, if men and women, demand their rights? Don't ask for them. Don't beg for them. Don't sue for them. Demand them. How will they act? Now, my guess is that many will have the first reaction of trying to stomp out the challenge. We've seen it before, right? As I said, we saw it in New Jersey. We saw it in New York. We've seen it in Los Angeles. We've seen it where the elites get away with things while everyone else is expected to live under their thumb. Whether that's the wearing of masks, the using of vaccines. But the thing that I want to remind so many people, you know, we think about the revolution. We think about our founding fathers. And many seem to think that liberty and independence was a common cry, that it was something unique or something special that we all had. But if my information is correct, only about 3% of the colonists actually fought for independence. Roughly a third wanted to be free, but only 3% actually fought. Roughly a third wanted to remain British subjects, but 3% fought. And roughly a third, they didn't care one way or the other. But 3% fought. It does not take a majority of the people to stand up to tyranny. Just as it has taken a vocal and influential minority to lead us towards despotism, it takes only a vocal and determined minority to keep the sacred fires of liberty burning and to keep them burning bright. Now, I believe it was Thomas Jefferson that said, education is the true corrective of abuses of constitutional power. So while these demonstrations are wonderful, they excite the spirit, they excite the mind, we still need to found our future on something, and it cannot simply be emotion. The excitement may enliven the sunshine patriot, but if we are truly to be free, then that must lead us to a better understanding, a better education. I believe that's why John Jay said every member of the state ought diligently to read and study the Constitution of his country and teach the rising generation to be free. To not simply have our freedom based on an emotion of the moment, but on a foundation of education, to know our rights and to be able to defend them and assert them. And as I've been going around this country and I've been teaching about our rights and about our ability to defend them, I try to instill one very important point. You see, Prime Minister Trudeau, President Biden, the Prime Minister of New Zealand, all believe that power is founded in their central government. And they've believed that because it's been allowed to be exercised that way. They believe it because they've been allowed to get away with whatever they say. But if we read the Constitution, if we read the Declaration, we begin to understand that that isn't the way things work. At least not here. You see, we're reminded in the Declaration of Independence that it is the people that are endowed with certain unalienable rights, that all men are created equal, The Constitution of most of the states note that all power is inherent in the people. That word inherent is important. We don't get our power from those in government. Our rights aren't defined by those in government. The power is inherent in the people. That to protect our rights, we the people create governance with the sole purpose of preserving our rights. And they derive their just powers from our consent. We delegate to them power. So when I'm looking at these demonstrations, I want to remind everybody that the power isn't inherent in the office of the president, or in Congress, or governor, or mayor. The power is inherent in the people. And that also means we need to look not to Washington for solutions, not to our state houses, but to our neighbors, to our cities, to our counties. When we control them, then we'll truly be free. You know, as people tried to steal the fuel from the Freedom Convoy in Canada, the people showed up and brought more. As the government tried to steal the money from the Freedom Convoy, certain people and companies stood up and acted to protect it. If we turn our counties into freedom sanctuaries, we can deprive those in Washington and Ottawa of what they value the most: unchallenged power. We can restore the rule of law. We don't have to get Washington to do it. We don't need a judge to do it. We don't need the Supreme Court to do it. We don't need Congress to pass a law, and we certainly don't need the president to pass an executive order. All we need are we the people to recognize the power is inherently ours and to exercise it. I've told the story of meeting with my county sheriff to make sure that both he and his deputies will protect the people's rights, even when those in Washington or Nashville try to take them. It is important to me as I travel this country that my family is protected. And if I can help secure the blessings of liberty to my county and help my neighbors do so to theirs, we can make an impact and make Tennessee a safe place where these freedom convoys aren't needed because their rights are already protected. And if we can do that in Tennessee and in Florida and in New York and California and Wisconsin and the Dakotas and the Carolinas and Idaho and every state, as we take over states, we can restore the blessings of liberty to this nation. It will take time. It will take effort, and it will take sacrifice. And it will take men and women like those in the Freedom Convoy to help ignite the fires, to stir the emotions, to remind us that we are citizens, not subjects, and not slaves. And I want to remind you of the words from Thomas Paine. He said, "These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of their country. But he that stands by it now deserves the love and thanks of man and woman. Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered. Yet we have this consolation with us, that the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. What we obtain too cheap, we esteem too lightly. It is dearness only that gives everything its value. Heaven knows how to put to proper price upon its goods, and it would be strange indeed if so celestial an article as freedom should not be highly rated. Are you a sunshine patriot? Are you a summer soldier? Will you stand and fight only when it is easy and victory is assured? Or are you willing to pay a dear price for freedom, for liberty, and for the future of this country? We should take these glimpses of the sacred fire of liberty and use them to encourage us to stand our ground, to not fire unless fired upon. But if those who wish to take our freedom, those who wish to quell our liberty, those who wish to dispose of us as slaves, if they wish to have war, let it begin here. Let us fight it. Those of us who remember the days of rights and liberty, rather than leaving it as something our children and our children's children must one day fight for. That is the point that I think needs to be made. That is the lesson I would like people to learn from those who are standing in the freedom convoys around the world. Not simply that it's a demonstration, but that it's a stand against the encroachment of the tyrant. And it is something that should encourage everyone around the world who wishes to breathe free. Now, all of my shows typically go to podcasts a day or two after the broadcast is heard on the radio. You can find them on Spotify, Stitcher, Pandora, iHeart Podcasts, anywhere you listen to your podcasts. Do me a favor, rate the show, go to Apple Podcasts, subscribe and rate me there so that others can find and share the blessings of liberty.
Hey, they'll stay out of jail, love the neighbors and have a few good friends.